Today I'm going to do a version of the Wheel of Awareness meditation, one developed by Dr. Dan Siegel, which I like a lot, super powerful, and potentially transformative, especially if you continue doing it on a regular basis. And then afterwards, we'll do a little talk, and the topic of the day is anger, because who knows, there might be some of that out there. So, all right. So I invite you to take a deep breath and close your eyes as we begin the meditation, the Wheel of Awareness meditation. So imagine that you are at the center, at the hub of a wheel, and there's a wheel around you. We're going to divide this wheel into several sectors, and we will gradually go through each one as we go around the wheel. Maybe you want to imagine that the sectors are arranged and we're going to go in a counterclockwise fashion around the Wheel of Awareness. We begin by focusing on the five physical senses, starting with vision. Your eyes are closed, however, you can probably still hear what is going on. You can probably still see a little bit of light coming through your eyelids, is what I meant. You can probably have a sensation of your eyes looking in a certain direction. So go ahead and pay attention to that sensation. Pay attention to that light coming through your eyelids, hitting your retina. Not a lot of objects, but there is a sensation associated with that. And allow yourself to focus on that completely. Do that for the next 30 seconds or so. As you continue to do that, gradually move to the sensation of hearing. Go to sound and notice the richness of sound that is coming in through your ears. Obviously, you are hearing the sound of my voice. In addition, I invite you to become aware of the other sounds in the environment. Maybe you have birds outside chirping like I do here. Maybe if you pay very close attention, you can hear the sound of your breath coming through your nose. And if you become very silent, very attentive, you may even be able to hear the sound of your own heartbeat. Continue to pay attention to the sounds. Maybe go out 10 meters, 100 meters. Become aware of the sounds 1,000 meters away. Maybe sirens in the far background, the sound of cars. And allow that to become your whole world for a moment as we move on to the next sense. The sense of touch. And allow yourself to become supremely aware of all the sensations in your body, on your body, your feet on the ground, the contact point of your buttocks on the chair or wherever you are situated. The feeling of your back on the chair, the feeling of clothing on your skin, sleeves, shirt, dress, pants, socks. Just go ahead and notice all the different tactile sensations you have. Maybe even become aware of the feeling of your own hair on your shoulders, around your neck, Or maybe you have bangs and you can feel them on your forehead. Catalog all those feelings. Notice them. And notice how you had not noticed them before. As we move on to the next sense, the sense of smell. And right now, perhaps you're not aware of the smells in your environment. But as you allow yourself to pay close attention, you can become aware of the various substances in your environment. Maybe even become aware of the soap that you used to shower this morning, or the perfume you're wearing, or deodorant. Or maybe there's a smell of food, this being around lunchtime for some of you, somewhere in the neighborhood. Or maybe it's that totally neutral smell that smells like nothing. Allow yourself to become aware of that. Focus your attention, focus your awareness upon those cells and receptors in your body, deep in your nose, that are transmitting the sensation of smell to you and your mind. Now, moving on to the sensation of taste. And once again, this is something you may have neglected before. And now you can allow yourself to put your focus on taste, the gustatory sense. Maybe there's some residue of food from a prior meal, or maybe you just ate. And what was that flavor? What is that residual flavor? Is it sweet? Is it sour? Is it bitter? Is it umami like steak? Is it salty? Or is it just the neutral flavor of there being nothing inside your mouth? If so, pay attention to that. And the taste of saliva, the non-taste taste. Pay attention to that. As we now move to the second sector of the wheel of awareness. This is your internal sensations. You have all these internal sensations all the time. And for the most part, we filter them out and don't pay attention. So right now, I invite you to imagine that you're scanning your body from the very bottom of your feet, the tip of your toes, slowly upwards, to notice the various sensations that you have in there. What are you feeling in the sole of your feet? Is there heat? Is there some sensation of itchiness? What does it feel inside your feet? Is there fullness, tightness? Can you feel the blood moving through there? Because it is. And then gradually move it up. Move it up to your calves and shin. Very slowly move that scan and become hyper aware of what's going on in there. Maybe you can become aware of a certain aliveness, a quality of energy and movement inside those muscles and bones that you hadn't noticed before. Maybe you can feel the tautness of the skin. As you move on up to the calves, maybe you can feel fasciculations, these little tiny contractions of your muscles as they contract unconsciously so they can move blood, the venous blood, up your body back to the heart so that it can be pumped again around your body. Moving up to your knees, what do you feel there? This big joint in your body supports your weight. What's going on inside? Do a thorough scan of that neighborhood, almost like there's a miniature version of you in there looking around, hunting for sensations. Moving on up to your thighs. If at any point there is pain, discomfort that was there before, go ahead and acknowledge that. Allow yourself to feel it completely. Notice that how you can allow the feeling to move through you without it becoming a point of struggle. You can just feel, just notice. Moving through the muscles of your thighs, the front of your thighs, the back of your thighs, upper thigh and lower thigh. All these muscles that support your weight all day long. Go ahead and feel deep into them. Notice what's going on. Big muscles with big arteries and veins running through them. That's right. Feel and notice what's going on. Then move up to the muscles of your buttocks, your gluteus maximus, biggest muscles of your body. Notice the sensations happening there. If you're sitting, notice what it feels like to have your weight compressed on there. Perhaps you can find new sensations that you hadn't noticed before deep inside. As you move up to the area of your pelvis and your genitalia, all the thousands upon millions of structures that are there, go ahead and put your awareness on this area of your body. Notice a certain quality of aliveness or quietude or whatever is happening. At this point, we're just scanning, just noticing what's happening without judgment. Dwell on that area, explore it a little bit with your awareness. As you move on up to the area of your abdomen, this is where all your major organs live. Liver, spleen, kidneys, stomach, intestines. Whole lot of stuff happening here. So go ahead and give it your full attention. Become aware of all the internal sensations inside your abdominal area. All the viscera. Your intestines are in constant motion. Notice any sensation of movement or discomfort or comfort, or even the fact that you don't feel a whole lot there. Notice that as you put your awareness on this area of your body and you move the scan up to the area of your chest, your lungs, your heart, the major arteries and veins of your body. Continue to take nice, deep, comfortable breaths. And to notice as you take these nice, deep breaths and exhale, it becomes easier to focus on what's going on inside your body. Notice the sensations. Is there warmth? Is there tightness? Is there space? Is there freedom? Could there be more space and freedom? Notice all of these things. And then move the scan up to the area of your neck and your head. Slowly, slowly noticing all the sensations. If you're sitting down and you're holding up your head with your neck muscles, notice what that feels like. And then go deep inside your throat area. Also your upper chest area. What's happening there? Is there freedom? Is there tension? Is there openness? Is there the potential for more space? Notice everything without judgment. Just see how things are. And maybe even notice how the act of awareness can allow you to change what's happening. Things change when we observe them. Things change when we train our spotlight of awareness upon them. And complete this body scan as you go to the very top of your head and inside your head. to your sinuses, to your brain, to all the stuff that's happening in there. As we move into the next sector of the Wheel of Awareness, which is mental activities. Right now, as you are listening to my voice, you're probably having some thoughts. They flit across the screen of your awareness, your consciousness. So go ahead and notice them. What did you just think? Where did that thought come from? Or maybe it was a feeling. Whatever it is, observe these thoughts. Notice them without judgment. Notice that your brain is going to have thoughts no matter what you do. It is what it's designed to do. And yet there is a part of you that's able to observe those thoughts, which means that you really aren't those thoughts if you're able to observe them from afar. If you see a horse in the field, that horse is probably not you. And so go ahead and notice your ability to observe your thoughts. See them with the little sense of detachment. Notice how they are like programming on a TV screen. They flit across the screen, but the TV does not become those programs. You switch the channel, it's a different program. You turn the TV screen off, and it becomes clear and blank again. And as you allow yourself to just notice these thoughts skittering across the landscape of the screen of awareness, it can become easier and easier for you to notice that the thoughts are not you. They're just like clouds moving across a blue sky. No matter how many there are, behind the clouds is always a blue sky, guaranteed. Identify with that blue sky. Identify with that screen of awareness. For a few more seconds, just notice your own thoughts. As you sit in the hub and move across these different sectors in the Wheel of Awareness. And the final part is to take your attention, take your awareness, and turn it back onto awareness itself. In the same way that you were able to notice your own thoughts flitting across the landscape of your mind, now you can notice your own ability to notice. Become aware of your own awareness. And notice as you do that, a certain clarity emerges, a certain deep and imperturbable calm. It is as if you are looking at the ocean, the horizon, this vast calm, imperturbable, totally flat. No matter what is happening in the world, that horizon remains flat, calm. The very embodiment of equanimity. And the more time you spend in this zone of placing your awareness upon awareness, the more access you will have to peace, to clarity, to openness, to calm, to receptivity. These are qualities that will hold you in good stead. Qualities that will maintain your resilience no matter what is happening outside. Go ahead and reside in this center of the wheel of awareness. Sit in the hub for another moment or two. Really enjoy the sensation. As you've built up your practice, starting from noticing the five senses, to noticing interior sensations, to going to this sensation of awareness of mental activities. And finally, take this awareness and place it on your sense of interconnectedness with the world, your sense of relatedness with people, with your neighbors, with everybody around you. It is a sense. Just because it doesn't look like an ear or a nose, it doesn't mean it's not there. But you know when you feel connected. Something in your body lights up and lets you know that the connection is happening. So start with somebody whom you feel very connected to. Someone with whom it's very easy to imagine that bond. And visualize that bond. See it as something physical. Maybe a beam of light going between you. At the level of the heart, the mind, maybe the whole body. You are connected. And imagine all the people with whom you have this level of connection. Imagine them arranging themselves around you like a circle, with spokes going out from you at the hub to everybody in the circle. Allow yourself to feel that deep connection of that light moving between you and them. And then move it out to another bigger circle, with people just beyond the inner circle, other people whom you know, you're acquainted with, and you care for. And imagine that beam of light spreading between you and these people. And imagine another circle bigger than the second one. This one is going out to perhaps everybody in your community or even your whole city. Feel that bond. And then take it out to everybody in your city, in your state, maybe even your whole country. Imagine that bond, that interconnectedness, which is true. We have concrete examples of how that works. And then move it on out to the rest of the planet. So you are lighting up everybody. You can see the world spinning just as it is in maybe one of these animated maps. You can see all the points of light, whoop, lighting up of all the people you are connected to. And go ahead and send them compassion and say to them all, may you be happy. May you be at peace. May you be at ease. And notice that whole lit up globe that's spinning says right back to you, may you be happy. May you be at ease. May you be at peace. And really feel that and maybe symbolize that with a gesture. Maybe touch your left forefinger and thumb together. May press into your heart so you can bring the sensation back anytime you want. Anchor that in your body somehow. As we come back to the present time and place, feeling aware, feeling connected, feeling calm, feeling peaceful, feeling open and clear. as I count back from 5, 4, 3. Gradually coming back to this room as you let your eyes flutter open and be one with your surroundings, feeling energized, refreshed, connected, clear, and calm. All right. How are y'all doing? Good, good. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Don't feel like you need to say anything for a minute or two. That's fine. Totally cool. In the meantime, if you would like to open your cameras so you can be seen, that would be great, because we're here to show our faces to each other that we are community. We are supporting each other. We are not alone. The ship may be leaky, and yet we're together and we can make this work. We can patch it up and make stuff happen. Thank you so much to those of you who are turning your cameras on. It also helps me, because otherwise I'm looking at a computer screen. I've been doing that for years, and I gotta tell you, it's kind of weird. But I'm getting some feedback from faces here. I know there's live people out there, so it makes it all much more meaningful. This is therapy for me as much as it is for you, I guarantee you. Okay, so first of all, thanks for showing up. And if there's something on your mind right now, I would love to hear about it, because the purpose of these is to serve you. So I have my own particular issues, and based on that, I'm going to create the talk and the meditation. However, you are much more aware of what's going on inside your mind, inside your body, inside your household, in your neighborhood. So there are certain things that we're all experiencing. So this session will be addressing that. In the meantime, if you do have particular things on your mind, now is a good time to share it. And if you want to do it anonymously, you know, turn yourself off. So it's just audio, or just put it in the chat. All of these things are fine. But remember that whenever you're sharing this kind of thing, you're doing everybody a service, because guess what? Somebody else has the same issue going on, most likely. We're all human, and a big part of how people turn pain into suffering is that they think they're alone. So there's that old line from the old Police songs, Message in a Bottle, when it says, I guess I didn't know I wasn't alone in being alone. 100 million castaways. So all these bottles come back to him. They are all messages in a bottle. So what is your message in your bottle? And if you want to speak, all you have to do is unmute yourself and you will speak. And for some reason, I'm not afraid of all of you speaking together, because that's not what's happening here. Everybody's shy. It's like, no, I can't talk. I mean, I have some.
Hello.
Hello. Who is that?
Hello.
Hi there.
Yeah. Hello. Good evening.
How you doing? What's on your mind, hello, Lucia?
Yeah. Good evening. It's evening here.
What is on your mind? What's going on?
Okay, what's on my mind is the challenges of the COVID-19 situation that kept everybody home, and now everybody's beginning to get introspective and get aware of some of their limitations as it comes to important aspects of their lives. Economically, and then dealing with their spouses, and dealing with their finances. The fact that they've always been very busy before now means many of these things have eluded them, because we've always been busy and we go to work and come back late. But okay, Now that everybody's staying.
Let me ask you a specific question. What are you feeling right now that is uncomfortable? So if you had a magic wand and if you could wave it and get rid of uncomfortable feelings, what would you say those uncomfortable feelings are?
That would be the fact that you finances are seeming insecure. Like
insecure. Okay, so we have one. We have insecurity. Great.
Yeah,
that's a good one, I'm sure. Anybody else feeling a little bit of insecurity out there, maybe? I mean, it's only riots and having your salary cut off. Why should you feel insecure? So thank you for sharing, Oluse. So how does this work? Okay, thank you. Okay, fantastic. So who else has something on his or her mind? This is a safe space. You can share your thoughts. And guess what? Everybody else probably has similar thoughts. So who is going to go next? Zakia?
Hi, Zakia from Toronto.
Hello, Zakia.
Hi. I think there's a general feeling of it's a mix. Fear, unease, uncertainty, just a lot of negative, heavy emotions.
Okay.
I mean, not specifically maybe around COVID, because blessed to live in Canada and in Toronto. Mm-hmm. We don't have riots here yet, so we're, you know, hoping to deal with that. But just, you know, the headlines are so, it's the sixth extinction. Jane Goodall says if humanity doesn't change after this, then it's all over.
So if I may, I want to really focus on you. So you started out by saying there's a general sense of what, but what I'm really interested in, what are you feeling right now? Because I'm going to address these to exactly what it is that you're experiencing. So what are you feeling? So you mentioned general insecurity, fear and stuff like that, but is that what you're feeling? Are you feeling fear? Are you feeling besieged? Are you feeling alone? What is actually going on? And this requires a lot of vulnerability to actually speak about yourself, but this is the goal. This is where the transformation mm-hmm. happens. And this is where the community is built, because everybody's like, oh, wow. Okay. Somebody else has this and has the courage to say it out loud. So what are you actually feeling, Zakia?
No, absolutely. It is fear. Fear of this whole, is it real fear, or is it fear that's being, well, real? It's all real if you're feeling it. I'll stop there. It's fear.
Exactly. Okay, great. Fantastic. Great start. Okay. Thank you for sharing. So I have the lecture prepared for mostly that exactly, and also anger, as I mentioned before. And here's the thing. So if there is a pandemic raging outside that is attempting to kill people, by people I mean us, and if there are riots happening out there and our country is literally in flames, so maybe your country is not in flames, but where I'm living, you know, Los Angeles, there have been riots and there have been flames. And there's economic uncertainty around the fact that, hey, not working maybe, and who knows where the next meal is going to come from. So these are all very good reasons to feel uncertainty, fear. I mean, if you're not feeling all this stuff, then that's unusual. And there's also anger. So there's some very, very strange things been happening to our Black brothers and sisters, and not the first time, and not the first time it's been recorded on video. And it's revealing some systemic injustices and shortcomings of society. And outrage is a perfectly normal emotion to feel in this case. So the question is that the most useful thing you can feel, though? Or can you even help it? What do you do with this stuff? So I'm here to perhaps provide you with some ideas and some solutions. Because, look, we're in trying times, and all these challenging emotions that you're feeling are totally normal. At the same time, sometimes it feels like they might be bringing you down and not creating the best possible version of you. Because if you are feeling a lot of anger, then it's very easy to turn that anger into rage, and then you're just kind of flailing around and your energy is being dissipated instead of you being the best and most effective version of you. Because the world really does need you to be the most effective version of you. So what do we do about this? And this reminds me of a line from a poem by William Blake. The poem is called Auguries of Innocence. And the line is, to be in a passion you good may do, but not if a passion is in you. And the idea is that you have two choices when you feel intense emotions. you can be its director, or you can let it direct you. And unless you've done extensive mind training, something like meditation, for most people, the default setting is that the emotion will direct them. They will be moved by the feelings, as opposed to taking one step back, like we did during the meditation, and looking at the feeling and saying, hey, feeling, that's so interesting. How am I going to use you in a way that's useful to me in the world? So it's a very big, important thing. And the meditation that we did, which was a long and powerful meditation, was all about the fact that you are able to step back from your thoughts and feelings and observe them. There is this thing called the hub of awareness, and it's looking at this wheel of awareness, all these other things that are happening, outside events as embodied in your five senses, internal sensations, thoughts and feelings, relations to other people. And the fact is that at any point in time, you do have the choice to think and feel independently of circumstance. So this is the number one skill of adulthood. I'm going to repeat that again. You have the ability and the choice to think and feel independently of circumstance. So think about it this way. Up to, say, a few months ago, before any of this COVID stuff, any of this riot stuff was happening, right? We still had racial injustice. Still really terrible things were happening to disadvantaged people in various neighborhoods. There are still refugee camps right outside the border of Syria, filled with a whole bunch of people who've been driven away from their homes. There is still war, there's still famine, there's still disease. You just weren't aware of it, right? So there is no plug from the outside world, some famine or conflict in, say, Central African Republic or Syria, that plugs in the back of your head and says, oh, now you have to feel crappy, okay? What we do is we go on news, we go on the TV, or we go online, and we find the stuff that'll make us feel crappy, and suddenly you're like, ah, we don't feel so good, and we wonder how that ever happened, okay? So we have choice, even in the midst of the storm, to feel what we want to feel and to direct our actions the way we want to. Now, anger is a tricky one, because anger, it seems to just happen, right? And against leaders such as 45, who shall not be named, it is perfectly appropriate to feel rage and anger and all kinds of other emotions, disgust, whatever it is. Okay, the question is, what do you do with that? And anger is one of those emotions that's a lot like desire. It's a tricky emotion, because if you express it in the right quantity, towards the right subject, at the right time, it can be super constructive and great, just like desire, right? But desire run rampant, it's like, it ruins your whole life. It can be a bad relationship. It can be a bad job. It could be a bad habit. It could be, I don't know, crack, methamphetamine, whatever, right? So that's desire run rampant without your control. So what do we do to manage these emotions? So I studied this discipline called Tantra, specifically Kashmiri Tantra, Shaiva Kashmiri Tantra. It's all these different subdivisions of Tantra, and Tantra, they say, is itself a subdivision of Buddhism, or Buddhism came out of Tantra. Who knows? Doesn't matter. The point is, can we use this today to make us feel better? And the good news is, yes, we can. We are going to do exactly that. So in Tantra, they make a distinction between little d desire and big d desire. So the small desire and big desire, right? So small desire is like, ooh, bright shiny object. Ooh, chocolate cake. Ooh, hot potential partner. Want, right? And so you go towards that, and most of the time that thing is beyond your reach, whether it's because the bright shiny object was in a car and was going by, you couldn't get it, right? Or he or she's on a movie screen and maybe even married, can't get that, right? Or, you know, chocolate cake's not that good for you, or it's behind a glass and God, you really want it, but should you? So this D, small desire D, right? Small D desire, that tends to create a feeling of contraction in you. It's like, oh, insufficiency, do not have, want, but do not have, right? But these tantric sages, they were very wise and crafty. That's why they were called sages. So what they figured out was like, look, desire is this emotion, is this feeling, is this energy that animates the entire universe. You could just say that gravity, which is the basis of the entire universe, is a form of desire. This is what brings things together, right? And so there's no need to demonize it. What you do is you use it. So you take that little feeling you have for, imagine right now, a piece of delectable chocolate cake in front of you, or I don't know, Brad Pitt or Angelina Jolie, whichever one you floats your boat, that object of desire that you all want so bad, but you can't have. And then notice what happens if you allow that feeling of desire to kind of move and expand in your body, right? Allow it to move and expand your body, move it down your feet, move it down your arms and your fingertips, move it all the way up to the top of your head. So, by the way, I want you to do this right now. So close your eyes and do that. Imagine an object of desire, whatever that was, chocolate cake, movie star, cool car, nice house, whatever it is, right? Especially one that you don't have right now. That's why it's an object of desire. It's beyond the reach. And notice the feeling that evokes. It's like this feeling of delicious wanting, but at the same time, painful deprivation. Just focus on the delicious wanting and allow that to expand through your body. Imagine it has a color. It's a ball. And that ball of color just goes, for me, it's like this bright orange, red, hot color. Gets bigger and bigger inside your chest, moves down your abdomen, down to your feet, your knees, all the way to your toes, moves down your arms, down to your fingers, all the top of your head. And then allow that energy to move through your feet down into the earth and to connect with the very core of the earth. And then your arms to go out and imagine you're shooting these beams of desire out of the universe. So you are becoming one with the universe's desire for you, because the universe desires you too. Otherwise you wouldn't exist. It desired you, which is how you came into existence. So become a part of that universal energy and feel that. This may sound very strange, but if you do it, you will feel very different. And suddenly that whole sensation of contraction, small desire, because this becomes this big desire for the whole honking universe, right? And now it becomes this much more expansive thing that empowers you. And now you can even approach that object of desire and say, wow, you're really bright and shiny and pretty. And now I have this elevated sense of desire for something much, much bigger. So I still acknowledge your tastiness, but I don't need you. I may not even want you, because you found that thing. The whole point of the fulfillment of desire is this, which you just generated for yourself. Okay. Now, that's what they did for desire. You can do that for anger too. So go ahead and close your eyes and imagine that object of your intense anger, the thing that causes outrage for you. And imagine where you feel that in your body. It might be a different place in your body, might be a different color. But go ahead and once again, feel it completely, acknowledge it. And imagine that color. And for me, it's a much darker color. It's like this deep purple anger. And I feel it kind of below the diaphragm, like towards the abdomen area. And then allow that to expand. Breathe into it. Breathe into it and allow it to expand all the way out into your arms, your fingertips, all the way down to your feet, your entire torso, all the way to the top of your head, and allow it to shoot out the top of your head, out your fingertips, into the universe, and feel at one with the anger of the universe as seen in the sun. The sun is burning every day. It's burning millions and billions of tons of hydrogen, turning into helium, and it's turning all that into what? Heat and light that is helping every single organism on this planet survive. That is the source of all life energy. So you can transmute this anger into life energy. You can still feel an inkling of that anger in there. It's like, God damn it, that jerk did that again. I can't believe it, right? But at the same time, it doesn't bring you down, right? It elevates you. It makes you more empowered, because this was the anger that motivated and animated the greatest movements in human history. So this was the movement of Satyagraha, of Mohandas Gandhi, who was able to mobilize hundreds of millions of Indians to get rid of British rule. He did it by mobilizing the anger peacefully. He rechanneled it. He did this alchemy to it, and the people marched, and the people sat in, and they did it. And then Martin Luther King, he did the same thing. He took all that anger, all that feeling of injustice and indignation, and he turned it into something powerful. He rechanneled it into something productive. So think about all the areas in your life in which you are feeling inconvenient emotions. And just imagine what would happen if you're able to transmute those emotions into energy that motivates you and moves you and allows you to go and do something, start a petition, Go do a protest in your neighborhood. Go support a candidate that really means a lot to you. Write about it. Send an op-ed. Whatever it is. Now you can channel that energy that was before making you like this and contracting you and turn it into a form of expansion, which to me feels much more freeing and much more empowering. So that is my talk, my Dharma talk for you today. And the whole idea is, look, who's in charge here? Are you in charge, or is the random news you see online or on TV in charge, right? So I encourage you to take back the charge, right? You are in charge. And if it helps to avoid those media, look, I understand we all want to be au courant. We want to know what's going on and be on top of events. And that is important. But for the most part, there's not a whole lot we can do about it. So be abstemious in your habits. Be very selective in what you let into your consciousness. Think of it as food, right? The same way you wouldn't just randomly eat Jack in the Box or, you know, a Big Mac or just junk food in general, right? The same way, don't randomly let noxious stuff come into your head, because a lot of the business model of these, you know, newspapers and magazines and TV shows is all about creating those uncomfortable emotions in you that feed more on the uncomfortable emotions, so you want more of it. So that's what I've got for you. And from now on, from now until the end of the hour, it's Q&A time. So what is on your mind? What are you thinking? And what can I help you with specifically? So, you know, I did this little thing here, this little exercise. You know, this is what I do. I help people rewire their own brains using their brains. You have ways of healing yourself. You have ways of solving your own problems. The issue is that nobody gave us an instruction manual for the most magnificent machine built in the entire universe. And of course, being who we are, if they gave us an instruction manual, we probably wouldn't read it anyway. So that's where I come in. So what's going on with you? And let me know how I can help. And here's another thing specifically for my audience with the Tao of Dating, which I've noticed, which is that over the past 10 years, I've noticed that anytime I've asked, what do you want? How can I help you? You know, I don't get a lot of responses. Now, I know there's issues. That otherwise, you wouldn't be on the list, right? And yet, it's like, oh, well. So you need to be vocal with what's going on. You need to be expressive of whatever you're feeling. And that's okay. And this is right now what the world needs. I mean, your anger, your outrage, it needs to be seen. And remember, we the people who want justice, we are the majority. And there are certain people out there who want you to not feel that. But look, if you put together all the people who are minorities and female, that's like 80% of the population right there. So that's a majority. And we're kind of sick and tired of this shit. So please allow yourself to express yourself again in this productive way of transmuting the energy of anger into something that channels you towards positive action and being the best possible version of you. To be in a passion you good may do, but not if a passion is in you. Thank you for attending. We're all here on Earth to give our gift. So if we can all catalyze the greater giving of that gift to the world, then that's a pretty cool world we'd live in. So thank you so much for coming here. If you have further questions, you know how to find me, Dr. Ali B at taoofdating.com.